Mr. DeLuca?
Yes.
May I approach you?
Yes, sir, right there, sir. How you doing today?
Can I give you?
Yes, sir.
You do understand once you get that, you don't get it back?
Oh, yes, that's it. I thought it was a one-way shot.
Thank you, sir.
Let's have a minute to look at this. Okay, Mr. DeLuca, how are you doing today, sir?
Good, sir.
Good, good, good. So this is a hearing for Mr. DeLuca. Mr. DeLuca is currently on home arrest. This is a parole hearing for absolute discharge or to regular parole that Mr. DeLuca on. He was put on parole by this board, I believe it was March.
June.
June?
Yes, sir.
So, sir, why don't you go ahead and tell this board a little bit about what you've been doing, what's going on with it?
Well, initially, when I got out of prison, which I appreciate this board allowing me this opportunity, I immediately enrolled in VA for health issues. I was seen over a four-month period of time to combat cancer in my throat. In December of last year, they performed an operation which removed my right tonsil that had become, I guess the best word is infected with cancer. Followed up in April, from March through April, with radiation treatments. When I first got out, with the assistance of my family and my cousin, I was able to obtain food stamps to help me survive on the streets. I got my license, driver's license, and what have you, to try and continue moving forward. A lot of the technology out here was a little bit of a stumbling block. When I went away, cell phones looked like the old World War II walkie-talkies.
Yeah.
Now they're the size of my palm and can do far more. In February, I applied for and received Social Security insurance, and I turned 64. So I've been continuing on that. I've been making payments on my restitution every month. As soon as I get my check in from the SSI, I make payments towards that. It's still a considerable bill, and I'm working steadily on getting that done. Over these, after I got through with my cancer treatment and started moving forward with that, got in a more healthy situation. I also had VA helping with getting new teeth. I had six left. So they helped me with that. I've continually, and it's a whole other market too, going in and applying for jobs. You don't walk in anymore with an application in hand. You get on the phone and try and find them and ask the questions on your little phone here to figure out if you're the right fit. I had an opportunity to work with the Red Cross. I thought that'd be great. I wanted to volunteer originally, but then I found out they were actually hiring. Went down to get down as a phone reception or call agent. Went through the process, passed all their tests, and apparently, when I talked to the background people, they didn't take it in check because they said, well, we're having trouble verifying your employment with DOC. I said, well, that's because I didn't work for DOC. I was an inmate there. You would have to look at inmate files to figure out where I was. Oh, okay, well, fine. Apparently, they never got passed along to the Red Cross. A week after being in employment, they pulled me up and said, we're going to have to wait and see if we can hire you. A week later, they said no. But, I mean, these things happen. People have to abide by whatever standards they've got, and that's fine. I understand that. But I put myself in this position. Nobody else did. But each day, I apply with numerous companies. I'm still trying to get employed. I will continue to do this until I get employment. I have worked part-time with both my sister, doing house cleaning, as well as my cousin who's here in residence with me. I've worked with her and her company, part-time work. That recently got sidetracked this last month. Originally, that wasn't a problem. I could call up an emergency situation to change my itinerary if I could go to work. I was told at that time that I had to be verifiable. So I said, okay, do you need to call them or what's the deal? And apparently that needed more than that. I said, what do you need to do in order to verify me working for these folks and not just going down and hanging out and have family time? I haven't got a response back on that yet. At any rate, look, the bottom line is this. All this came about because of what I did, not because of what anybody else did. Each day I try to get up with a positive attitude. I went through just out of last month, I finished anger management. It was board recommended that I take this, and it's one of the nicest things you folks done other than letting me out of prison. It was a very positive effect. I mean, everybody has anger. It's not in losing anger. It's learning how to use it constructively. That was one of the best courses I've taken all the time. Recently, I also attended classes in learning how to become employable after 50. At 64, that's a little more difficult. Knees aren't quite as springy as they used to be. I've also attended refresher courses in computers to try and get back up to shape. I've applied, you probably saw in the package, where I've applied to Pima College to start taking courses this next year. Small business management, and get along in that area. I'd like to, at some point, once it's allowable, which 5 years in it, is to open my own business. But at the present time, I am willing to take any job. I don't care if it's weeding, rocking rocks, it doesn't matter to me, just something to employ me. Again, I deeply appreciate the fact that you allowed me out this year.
So, you actually had cancer. You have to have your radiation treatments, everything.
Yes, sir.
Seeing how's that going? I think you had like 30 radiation treatments.
33.
How's that going?
It's an interesting experience. The cancer, they ran the surgery line down through here. Mm-hmm. Now, the cancer is not just, I mean, the radiation treatment is a lot more centralized. Mm-hmm. You actually go in, they put a mask on you, which holds your, from your shoulders up through your neck in space, solid. It's a mesh, plastic mesh. You go in the machine, they make sure you're lined up, and then they hit you with about 20 minutes of radiation. 5 days a week for 33 sessions. Towards the end, it started burning considerably. There's a lot of rawness in my throat. I still have a little bit of a overdeal with that, but at present, it's showing up clear. So I go to see them again in January to get a final checkup on a PET scan, which I'm not sure exactly how that works really, but they inject you with a radioactive sugar solution, which after an hour is gravitated towards any cancer cells within your body. Apparently, cancer likes sugar. So I cut that out, I tried to change my diet, become more healthy conscious, and work towards a better future. I also have diabetes too, and I have blood pressure. It's just a matter of changing the lifestyle and getting with the program.
And then, and you said it earlier, I see that you applied for numerous jobs, and And I read the part about what the Red Cross looked like, that was going to be good, but made the statement that you're going to continue to look for jobs. How else are you just looking for jobs? Have you gone to any other locations, or are you just going online?
Well, I do online, but I'm also going to One Stop at Pima. That was where I spell out the courses.
Okay.
They set up a deal down there where you can go and you set up, they have numerous job opportunities. I went down to Hope Fair, which was 3 weeks ago, down to the community center downtown, and talked to those folks. I'm continually hitting them anywhere I can, whether it's walking along the pavement. Again, because of your itinerary, you've got to lay this out ahead of time. And sometimes that gets modified. You don't always choose to have it modified, but I've been in pretty close contact with both my parole officers. I've gone through, well, I started out with Mr. Allman when I first got out. It was a very steel, it was a lot more wide open at that time. And it slowly got more tightened, which is fine. I understand. You guys are responsible for what I do out there, bottom line. I mean, I'm the one that does it, and it falls on me, but your name's right on that as well. So I do my very best to stay in contact with Mr. Keene on a regular basis. He's been very helpful. He looks out for me in that he's willing to do what he can to help me get along and get to the right place. I try not, my very best of my ability, not to take advantage of that.
And I see you've been paying your restitution, and
yes, sir.
You received some money from VA, and you put a good sum of that money towards your restitution?
None of it from the VA. That's from the SSI.
Okay.
VA helps me with my medical. So far, that's been very helpful. In 4 years' time within the prison system, because it just constraints money-wise, it didn't happen. When I got out, it took me about 4 months through the VA to get in and see a doctor and have surgery done. That's where most of that's come from. The VA's help with the anger management. I took a course through them. It's also helped them. I got my teeth done through them. Also, reading glasses and what have you. All that's been very helpful. It's interesting that a lot of these places I've worked through Primavera as well. They're the ones that turned me on to Project Action Veterans, which is a group of folks that try to help veterans get housing. I'm in the process of working with them to get an apartment here in the next future, and they're going to help me set up with the appliance fee or the application fees and what have you, and move out of where I am. Because Oak Pueblo, OPCS, on Spartan, is going to be going to a different program instead of for veterans. So in order, and I've been there 15 months, I need to move on and let somebody else have that space. I'd like to see myself self-sufficient. I mean, I'm not there yet. I try to make a little savings each month as well as pay my bills. I've done my very best to stay above that and not get myself in trouble. I don't even jaywalk anymore. I mean, I come to this corner and wait for the light. I don't care. It's just a change in the attitude of what I need to be. I'm not worried about who sees it, who doesn't see it. I know it myself. This is the right way to do it. While I was still in prison, I worked with young men there, trying to help them get on their way. Realize what they were there for. Look, it wasn't somebody else's fault that got you here. You got yourself here. Which is the same talk my sister gave me 22 years ago. She sent me a skating lift, which I still hold on to. It was probably one of the best slaps up the head that I needed. You need to stop blaming others. Take the responsibility on yourself. You put yourself there. You put yourself in this situation. In order to move forward, you have to accept that. It's like with treatment of any kind, whether it's drugs, alcohol, whatever it might be, you need to accept that.
Okay, Mr. DeLuca, I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions.
Mr. DeLuca, you're a veteran.
Yes,
what branch were you?
Navy.
You were Navy veteran?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right, well, thank you for your service.
It was my honor, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Mr. DeLuca, you called attention to some of the challenges that you faced since you've been out, but what's been the most successful thing that you experienced since being on home arrest, sir?
Most successful?
Yes, sir.
I think not necessarily as a success, but as a benefit from this board, was stepping out beyond the wire and the great buildings and breathing fresh air. I can step out on my patio, my porch, and listen to the birds sing, watch the sun come up. great success, I suppose, was working through the VA to get the cancer taken care of. At one point in time, I thought that might be the end of anything. They weren't sure how far to progress. They were kind of astonished that the doctor up in Phoenix hadn't gone further. But as it turned out, it was fairly localized here in my right tonsil. So that was a great load off. I bless every day that I can get up and still be able to get upright. I'm still above ground, taking a breath, and move forward.
Did you get that procedure, was that done in Phoenix or down in Tucson?
Down in Tucson, at the Banner Hospital.
Okay. And I think you've already answered this, but you feel that you're recovering at this point? That may be the wrong term, but...
No, that's the right term.
That you're recovering at this time from that
situation? I'm hoping it's... you're right, that isn't exactly the right... What do you call that? Whatever it is, I think I'm there. I'm hoping that. Again, like I was telling you earlier, I will go back in January to get another assessment done. I've gone back to see the folks at Banner, Dr. Yee down at Banner Hospital in Tucson. He's the radiologist. He's quite happy with his success so far. It seems like it's taking what it's supposed to be. Like I say, it was very centralized. It's funny, for a while, this whole side of my face was about as smooth as baby's bottom because the radiation took all the hair away. So now it's slowly starting to come back in. This side is actually darker than this side. I'm not sure why that is. Maybe it's younger. I don't know.
It's just gray comes in like that.
That's true.
That's the way it does. Can't control it.
Now, may I just ask this then? Do you have other relatives in Arizona, sir?
Yes, ma'am. I've got my sister.
Your sister.
And her family. And they live in Vail, which is not too far away. I get together with her on Wednesdays at the very least to go shopping, so I can help her do her shopping. I also see them occasionally on weekends. In fact, I just celebrated Thanksgiving with them here just recently. But yes, we stay in close contact. My other sister's up in Idaho, and we stay in pretty close contact as well. Phone calls and letters. Other than that, I have one brother who's in town. We haven't been in contact with one another. In fact, he's pretty much removed himself from the family, but he is here.
Now, but what do you do socially? I mean, do you have any social activities at all?
Slowly branching in that direction. My sister and I occasionally go to movies. As a matter of fact, Friday, it's Friday coming up, not tomorrow, but the week from then, I have a coffee date with somebody coming out of line. It's a slow process. Look, I am in no position to offer anybody anything. I still need you to write. I need to get in a more healthy shape, more financially secure, and take care of my own business before I can involve somebody else in my life. I put it out there on the website that I am an ex-con, and I'm not home for the rest. Look, the truth is out there. You need to tell people. You need to be straight with them. And I am in every aspect. They ask, well, what are you doing? Well, I'm here doing this. I'm on home arrest. Oh, well, yeah. Some accept that. Some do not. It's all right. It is what it is.
But in terms of your lack of finding employment, is that one reason that you think you haven't found employment, because you are on home arrest?
Well, that may be partially, Dr. Wright. Part of it was I went through Goodwill, and they meant well, and they helped me put together a resume. The problem with the resumes today, having gone to the class and learned it's much more select, is that it was too broad. I got a lot of responses, most of them rejections. Went in for Parks and Rec even, just to go out and clean up benches and put them back together and throw some paint on them. Apparently I wasn't qualified for that. I had over 10 years of experience while in prison as a painter. Painted inside, outside, everything. A little bit of maintenance, but I wasn't qualified. It's all right. Went through Banner Hospital, trying to get into their environmental services, basically a housekeeping custodian. I've done over 20 plus years of that. Actually have a certificate through prison with CMS, Custodial Maintenance Services. No. But hey, you know, it's a process. If they can't accept me for being in prison, that's all right. I will make my way. We'll get there. Somewhere, some along the line, somebody's going to realize that, hey, this guy might be worth a shot. I'm also currently trying to go through the VA to get on-the-job training there, CWT is what it's called. That way you work as a in-house, either landscaper or custodian within, you know, moving trash and what have you, clean up. And that way at least you're employed. I found in the past, at least, that once you're employed, you tend to be more employable for the next guy. It's like, oh, well, these people gave my chance, maybe, you know. So, yes, sir. Every day, take the push forward. Look, there's only forward to go. There is no going back.
Thank you so very much, sir. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Duke, I'm going to go ahead and take the time now. We're going to hear from your cousin, Ms. McGee. Did you want to speak, Ms. McGee?
I do.
Okay. Go ahead and have a seat, Sam.
I'm a little shorter. There.
Go ahead, to state your full name.
Okay, my name is Natalie McGee, and I'm his cousin. I'm the one that's 78, looks 50, feels 20, and acts 16, and I'm getting younger. I wish everybody felt this good, but I'm the one that talked, I guess, met originally with all of you, talking about, and I'm a clinical social worker, psychiatric social worker that I've done. And I worked with, in L.A. County Juvenile Court, neglected, battered, abused children for quite a number of years. And Charlie Manson was one of my easiest cases, so I'm not new in the game. And there were a number of things that when taking on this responsibility, if you wanted to call that, coming up and talking on behalf of Eric and his coming down to be a part of society again. I have an associate that I'm involved with. Raj is his name. He worked 4 years as a psychologist at the Wilmot Prison. And he and I have, you know Raj, he's a wonderful guy. He's written a number of books. Raj and I have spent some time talking about Eric before he came out and how to best help Eric. And the one thing that we weren't, and Raj is very strong on and very clear about, is that what you don't do is coddle somebody and make him dependent on you because you've done something wonderful for him, therefore he's making it. On the contrary, he needs to be able to meet these challenges and make them on his own basis. And when he can do that, he's either going to make it or he's not going to make it. And so we've spent some time watching Eric deal with the different challenges, from cell phones to learning how to get a driver's license to catching a bus to, my gosh, what is that on the street and everything else? That's, the world is a different place. And he, without being coddled, he's put this together himself. He's met the challenges. He isn't caving in and saying, oh my gosh, I can't make it. I can't do this. I've got to be babied. We're not getting any of this kind of thing. And I'm really feeling very good about the progress he's making and what he's doing, and I'm speaking very much clinically here with you rather than as a cousin so much. And watching him make the growth that he is making, I think he's doing remarkably well, and I'm very pleased to see what's happening for him. I have you know, more available work for him if he had a little more time, but his time is so restricted. That I could call up and say, hey, I need help, I need this, because I have a little business of my own. But he says, well, I have to tell somebody a week and 2 weeks in advance or I can't come. And so we're always dealing with this issue. It makes it a little awkward because I have a lot more work that I can make available for him with that situation. The other thing is we loved having him play. I play Scrabble on Tuesday nights, Sweet Tomatoes. And the girls just, and the girls and one gentleman comes, we have a Scrabble club, is what we do. We love having him come to the Scrabble game, but because of the limitations of the time, he can't be out this or he can't that, or he has to have notifications. He hasn't been able to come to the social, our little Scrabble club. We'd love to have him come there if he would like to keep coming, but at any rate, I'm just kind of saying a few things like that. But I think he's doing, clinically speaking, remarkably well, and he's handling these things without caving in or becoming depressed or upset or unable to deal with the kind of challenges that he's going to have to face a million of them, right. And he's facing them, and he's not getting coddled. That's not one of the things that you really want to ever do. And he's finding himself, rather than what a wonderful job I did for him, he's finding this, what a wonderful job he's done for himself and his self-respect, which is something that Raj and I are very clear is the direction to, respond here with him, and he's doing a wonderful job with that. Instead, because he, you know, he's just been caved down for so long, now he has to find his own worth, and he's finding it, and we're very pleased. I just wanted to mention that as a political social worker. Any questions you have of Mickey Steve?
No. I don't have any questions. Boy, have any questions?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you for coming down and appearing. We're going to go now, sir. The PO is on the line now. Officer King?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead and just state your full name and present your information to the board. We do have your progress report here on this hearing, but we wanted to just give you the opportunity to speak and give us some information, sir.
Okay, my name is Parole Officer Sullivan King. I have been supervising Eric now since, I want to say, almost for 12 months. Not long ago, I took over from Mr. Allman, which had only had him for a few months there, but he's had a very challenging 14, 15 months almost since he's been released, and he's definitely met all the challenges, you know, with a very positive attitude. He has a very full schedule within the constraints of the regulations for his home arrest, and he, you know, he uses that time extremely well. He did have the scheduling issue with the with the medical treatments he had to go through. So that was quite a burden on him. There was a lot of treatment to go through there, all at once. And he didn't miss an appointment. Didn't even ask to miss an appointment. He always made his appointments with us on time. No complaints. I was kind of expecting him for that to really drain him. But he went through it quite admirably. And I think that I know during that period he was in treatment, we were, talking about employment and stuff for him, and I know we kind of let off the employment search a little bit during that period because there wasn't much point in starting a job when he knew he had 30 medical appointments in a row just about that would interfere with work. And even he has definitely been trying to get work, and I do believe that with my experience with all offenders, parole, being on parole is definitely a hurdle to employment. Being on home arrest is definitely another hurdle in addition, because it gives you you have a very visual effect on your person that you are on parole, and a lot of employers kind of worry about that. And I know he does have. He does have opportunity to work with his sister, and we would like to be able to allow him to do that more, but due to our restrictions, it does make it difficult. I would have to say that I believe that if he was on, on general parole, or indeed discharged, that he would have a lot more success at finding employment a lot sooner, and I believe that his activity would his level of activity would expand even more, and it would be very positive.
Okay. So I'm going to see if the board has any questions for you. Does the board have any questions for
you? Just a general question for my education and relevance. When someone's on general parole versus home arrest, do they still have to submit itineraries?
I'm sorry, was that about an itinerary? I'm sorry.
Yeah, the question was, sir, when someone is on home arrest or regular parole, do they still, on regular parole, do they still have to submit itineraries as they do when they're on home arrest?
No, they don't.
Okay.
Did I ask the question right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he has been very good about his itinerary. It's never late. He goes to whatever lengths he needs to get it to us. And it's always, like I said, the time is used very well. He is at the, due to the fact he's been on home arrest for as long as he has, he's actually at the top end of our incentive program for offenders on home arrest. and the activities which he's allowed to participate in have actually been increased to the maximum that the department will allow, and he uses that time very wisely.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
At this time, Brian, tell me how to pronounce your last name, because I'm going to miss
Bilby.
Bilby. Okay, at this time, we're going to, Mr. Bilby from the victim witness has a statement that he wants to read from the victim.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Brian Bilby. I'm a victim advocate employed with the Arizona Department of Corrections Office of Victim Services. I've been in contact with Claire Kosteski. She is the mother of the victim in the case. She has a short little statement for the parole board. Dear parole board, I don't know how old DeLuca is or his health, but if he is sick, I hope he suffers the way he made my son suffer. I will never forgive him for his actions that he denied Alan from having a long, successful life. Please do the right thing and deny DeLuca his freedom. Sincerely, Claire Kosteski.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, Mr. DeLuca, is there any last minute comments you want to make to the board that you haven't already made?
Just one, I guess. I do appreciate the opportunity you gave me last June to be able to come out here and be part of society. I'd like to believe that I have come full circle, realized my obligations and my debts to society, and doing my best to repay those as best I can. As much as I'd like to, I can't change the past. I believe, though, given the opportunity, whether I stay on home arrest, general parole, or complete discharge, that I'll never come in the line of any kind of law enforcement for the wrong thing, ever again. I believe I've truly learned my lesson.
Okay, thanks. Thank you, sir. So go ahead and have a seat, Mr. DeLuca. The board's going to discuss, and sir, while the board's in discussion, I'm going to ask, you know, the users may be silent, may appear we may be talking to you, or we're going to be only talking amongst us up here on the board, okay? And I do want to just put on record that there are letters of support in here for Mr. DeLuca, as well as letters from the victim's family that are not in support of Mr. DeLuca. I want to make sure that that is on the record, that there's some very adamant statements and letters in there from the victim not in support of Mr. DeLuca. However, Mr. DeLuca has been on a home arrest. He's been paying his restitution. Looks like he's paid about $6,000 of restitution that he's done according to his PO. As his attendance has been good, he's been participating. That's been good. I tell you, I would have liked to see Mr. DeLuca have a job, some employment before he actually goes on to regular parole. But after listening to the PO, who states that Mr. Kane states that Mr. DeLuca, you know, has been actually looking for a job. He went through a period that he was actually going through the cancer and had the medical appointment, so it slowed him down. And his PO says that he has been doing a good job, as I previously stated. But he also stated that he thought that Mr. DeLuca would probably be able to find work and be more helpful to find work if he was not on home arrest and had a little bit more time. He said that it would also allow him to be able to have a little bit more social time and social issues that would be of assistance on him. At this time, I'm supportive of putting Mr. DeLuca on regular parole, but I'm willing to listen to the rest of the board.
I agree with you, sir. I think Mr. DeLuca has good community support. He's worked with his parole officer, and I think he'll do well.
That's right.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. I really applaud Mr. DeLuca for the progress that he's made, especially in view of his health conditions. However, just as one board member, I would feel more comfortable, as you stated, if he had found employment one way or the other. I read and heard what his parole officer has stated, and I respect that. However, I would personally like to see employment, even if it's volunteer employment, something that should show that he is ready to really be an all-around productive individual. I recognize the fact that he's done an outstanding job, and especially under the conditions. We all have health challenges, but because of his situation, and I think that this would be, from my perspective, this would help to alleviate some of the concerns of some of the victims, not all of them, but of some of the victims. And therefore, as one board member, I would just like to see some employment, sir. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I just want to say, Dr. Ed, I was struggling with the issue of not being employed and not having a job that Mr. DeLuca has planned, but in reading the information, Mr. DeLuca has been applying for jobs. He has been constantly looking for work and trying to get work out there, and perhaps, not having the monitor on a wood system and doing it. I read the letters of the victim, and quite frankly, and certainly, I don't think that whether Mr. DeLuca had a job or didn't have a job would change the opinion of the victims or add any relief to the victims at this time. And certainly they have every right to feel the way, that they feel as a victim. So I don't think that's going to have a major influence, although it may kind of help ease some of the tension.
Yes, Mr. Johnson, there's a note from Parole Officer King that Mr. DeLuca has started volunteer work at a recycling center, and after a certain period of time, he's going to be rewarded with a refurbished laptop that will help him in his job search. So he won't have to do everything on the little phone, he could actually see it on a screen. So he was doing volunteer work, and being almost the same age, I know it's kind of hard to look for work when you're in your 60s. Kind of hard.
Okay, therefore, I'm going to go ahead and make the motion to grant Mr. DeLuca regular parole.
And that's your motion?
Yes. Okay, I'll second. Mr. Green. Okay, Mr. DeLuca. The board has by a majority decision voted you to go ahead and have grant you regular parole. Sir, I hope that you don't let this board down, that you continue, that you find work, continue to work with your parole officer, sir, to find some employment. There are some concerns about that, and taking everything into consideration, sir, I want to wish you the best of luck on your parole, and that you do become a productive citizen, continue being a productive citizen out there in the community, sir. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time, Mr. DeLuca. I want to thank you, and I want to thank your cousin, Ms. McGee, as well as a victim witness advocate from the Department of Victim Services for the Department of Correction, Mr. Brian Bibble, for he being here and representing the victim. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time, sir. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. I appreciate it.